Oh, yes, it could. And we are going to shift from green tea coalitions to not-so-green shampoo and conditioning products. And for what you need to know, we're going to turn to one of my favorite groups. Talk often about the Environmental Working Group and the great research they do. And my other favorite group in the environmental health arena is the Center for Environmental Health, based right here in the green-leaning progressive Bay Area, proud to say. I want to welcome to the show Charles Margulies. He is the communication director for CEH to tell us about some research that came out a couple of weeks ago while I was busy getting my daughter settled into college on the East Coast. I'm now catching up on all the green news I missed, and this was just too important a story to pass over. And so usually we break things before most of the mainstream media follows up on stories, but in this case we're maybe a little behind, but I missed it. So just want to hear, Charles, what made you decide to look into these products, and how many did you find that had something that is actually considered a carcinogen? And, in fact, many of these products then are marketed under such names as natural, organic, and even, you know, coconut oil, things that sound like they should be oh so squeaky clean.
Right. Well, at the time of our press release a couple of weeks ago, we had 98 products that we found. We're still shopping and testing, so we've now found over 100 products. These are mostly shampoos. There are also some other personal care products, soaps. And even kids' products, kids' bubble baths and soaps and shampoos that are specifically marketed to children, containing a chemical that the state of California has listed as a carcinogen. It's a chemical known to cause cancer. The chemical is called cocamide DEA, and folks can see that on the label. But what they don't see is a warning that lets consumers know that this is a chemical that's known to cause cancer in the state of California. If those products are not, if consumers are not warned about that before they buy the product, that product is being sold illegally, and that's why we filed lawsuits under that statute.
Now, just as surprising, shocking, upsetting as this news is, I was also surprised to see that there is a connection to an ingredient that we've been recently told is so healthy for us, coconut oil.
Right. Well, coconut oil as a natural, unadulterated substance is perfectly fine, and there's no reason to suspect that coconut oil in and of itself is a problem. What cosmetic and personal care companies use, however, is a highly synthetic version of coconut oil, and coconut oil is used as a base for many ingredients in shampoos and other products. In a highly adulterated form, in a form that's synthesized in a lab with other chemicals to create other properties that go beyond what natural coconut oil would have. So we have had some questions from folks who are concerned about any products with coconut oil, and that shouldn't be a concern. Under the law, the chemicals in the products at least do have to be listed on the ingredients, so folks can simply look for ingredient labels and avoid products that have cocamide DEA.
Which stands for diethanolamine?
That's correct. Very, very
okay.
Good.
All right. So is this a newer ingredient, this chemical version, in products? Because, like, are they some way capitalizing on the recent popularity of coconut oil as something to ingest and perhaps put on your skin to moisturize? Or has this always, well, not always, but has this been used for some time? It's just now finally being detected.
Well, I think some companies in their marketing are definitely capitalizing on the reputation of coconut oil, but this ingredient isn't particularly new. And in fact, it's important for folks to understand. Companies have warning about this law coming into effect. They have ample warning to either get a label on their products or to simply eliminate the ingredient before we can take legal action. So, several years ago, the state of California began looking into the toxicity of this ingredient. They had several public hearings where the industry attended to discuss the science with state scientists. More than a year ago, the companies were notified that we've looked at the California notified the companies that we've looked at the science. The science says this is a chemical known to cause cancer. We are now going to add it to the list of chemicals known to cause cancer. The day that we list it, you have a year to come into compliance with the law. So the companies had ample warning to do something about it, and they did nothing. They continued to sell products with this cancer-causing chemical without a warning to consumers, and that's why we took legal action. That's why we're now pursuing the legal action to get the companies to eliminate this chemical. under the law, they can simply put a warning label on. But in our nearly 20 years of doing this kind of work, 95% of the time when we bring these cases, we push farther. We push for the companies to go farther than the law requires and to simply eliminate the ingredient from their product. That's the safest way for all consumers, for our children and our families. That's the most responsible thing for the companies to do, and that's what we're going to push them to do.
And you're talking about, at least in a few cases, some big brand names and stores and chains that sell these products.
Yeah, absolutely. We found products at major retailers that sell these products nationwide, everything from Walgreens, Rite Aid, Walmart, to even some higher-end products that we purchased at Bloomingdale's or Saks Fifth Avenue. So you can't tell by price. You can't tell, as you said at the top of the story, you can't tell by the words natural or even sometimes the words organic on the label. Fortunately, in this case, consumers do have one way to tell, which is to be very careful about looking at the ingredient lists. Look for Kokamide DEA on the label and avoid all products with that ingredient.
And yeah, prior to now, I would have assumed if, you know, I saw Kokamide that it had something to do with, you know, cocoa butter, coconut, chocolate cocoa. It sounds somehow,
right.
You know, appealing.
Sure.
Not the mind part, the end of the word so much, but it's really hard for the average consumer to know, even if they do take the time and have vision good enough to read the small print ingredients.
It's true, and the print can be very small sometimes, but yeah, folks have to look carefully at the labels, and also don't be confused by similar ingredients. So there's now an ingredient called Kokamide MEA, which people will see on labels. There are other, as we talked about, some coconut derivatives and other ingredients that folks might see on the labels and wonder if that's also a problem. Unfortunately, as I know you've talked about on the show before, in the United States, chemical policy is that chemical companies are allowed to put their products on the market with little or no safety testing at all. And so these chemicals that are in shampoos, chemicals are in everyday products that we all use every day, and there is no way for us to know that they're safe because there's simply no requirements that the products are tested for safety. So we really have a backwards approach to regulation in this country where it takes people starting to get sick and find health problems before the government will step in and say, oh, hey, well, maybe we should look at this. Maybe sometime down the road we'll actually regulate it. Maybe we'll even restrict it. Other countries are turning that process around and saying, no, it should be on the burden should be on the companies to demonstrate that their products are safe before we put them in store shelves that are sold to millions of children and families around the country. And we think that's what needs to be done as well.
Sorry, the precautionary principle, which has been passed by some cities, I know like San Francisco, have other municipalities embraced the precautionary principle, or is that just some crazy California thing we did?
No, it is something that localities around the country have taken up. Unfortunately, at the federal level, where it really needs to happen so it's comprehensive for all Americans, that's been stalled. There is now a Safer Chemicals Act that Congress is taking up this session. Unfortunately, that particular bill has major loopholes and gaps in safety for what we would call a Safer Chemicals Act. At this point, is not something that we think provides the protections that Americans really need. We're working with Congress people to try to strengthen that bill, so it could be something that we would support.
And did you order CEH, that is, the independent testing on these products?
Right. So what we do is we go to the stores. As I said, the companies had ample time to get the ingredient out or put warning labels on. So we go to the stores and do shopping, just like anybody else would. We look for products that can still contain the ingredient and that didn't provide any warning notice. We brought the products back to our office, sent them off to an independent laboratory. That laboratory tested not just for the presence of the ingredient, because we know it's in there based on the ingredient label, but the quantity. We want to find out how much of that chemical is in the product. In the case of all the products on the list that's on our website, each one of those products had very high levels of the chemical, levels that would, we think, trigger a cancer warning in California. And folks can go to CEH.org and see if their shampoo or product is on the list.
Do you have any idea whether these manufacturers making these products, would say that, you know, it's not sufficient amounts to really be an active carcinogen. Would they challenge it on that basis, or is that not relevant, even if it's only present in trace amounts? Would you still argue that it can be dangerous, or that we don't know, you know, what level is safe?
In our testing, we looked for products that were well above trace amounts. So if there were products that we found with just trace amounts of the chemical, we did not pursue action on those. There have been times in the past where we've done cases where manufacturers have tried to show by their testing that our testing was wrong, that their products had less of the chemicals. That is sometimes a point of contention, but it's rare that has been shown conclusively. Typically, we'll do repeat testing. Typically, our repeat testing shows the same thing the first rounds of testing showed. And since we're testing the products that are right off the shelves, that typically ends the argument.
And since this is used, this item we're talking about, cocamide DEA, as a thickener or foaming agent, would that imply that it's, you know, pretty high up on the ingredient list in terms of amount?
It in many cases, it is high up on the ingredient list, and we found several products that had 10,000 parts per million of cocamide DEA or more. A couple of products had more than 100,000, and I think one had more than 200,000 parts per million. That's 20% cocamide DEA, so that's obviously a major ingredient in the product.
And CEH has a wonderful campaign, the Toxic Shell Game. You talk about it. Michael Green talked about when he was on the program months ago. Is that something that you fear will happen, that they could take this item out only to replace it with another ingredient that either is a carcinogen or not yet known to be a carcinogen but could prove to be?
Yeah, unfortunately for many of the products, we think that may already be happening. I mentioned a similar chemical called cocamide MEA, and that seems to be a substitute for the product, and it's certainly a chemical that's been less well studied. So, the idea of the toxic shell game is, as long as our country continues to have this backward regulation where companies can simply put new chemicals on the market without any requirements for safety testing, this is what's going to happen. One chemical will be regulated, and they'll simply come up with a chemical cousin that they can use to replace it and say, oh, see, we did the right thing. We got the chemical out. Oh, by the way, we don't know anything about the safety of this new chemical that we put in. That's just an absurd system, obviously. We need a system where companies have to meet basic safety testing requirements so that we can all know products on the store shelves are safe. Right now, most Americans assume, the government wouldn't let them sell it if it's not safe. And sadly, that assumption is just wrong.
It certainly is, and that's why it's really important to understand what it is you're putting not only in your body but on your body. So many of these personal care products do have these chemicals that are unfamiliar, unpronounceable, and that's why there's the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. I'm sure you have a list at your website if you'd like to give that out so people can go check out not only the shampoos in question and conditioners but perhaps other products that one might assume are safe because of where they bought them, but not necessarily.
Yeah, folks, just go to ceh.org. You can see the list of chemicals, the list of shampoos and other products, and many, many of our other cases involving lead in children's products and many other household products that have hidden health hazards. There's a lot of great resources on the site. You mentioned there are even some organic products that contain this chemical. We did a number of lawsuits where we have now legal agreements with more than 40 companies that ended their use of the word organic on personal care products and other cosmetics that simply don't meet the standards for organic. So those settlements are also on our website.
Thank you so much, Charles Margulis. They're playing my song. That means we've got to say goodbye, but I really appreciate not only your being with us, but the great work you continue to do at the Center for Environmental Health. Keep it up.
No, thanks very much.
And that does it for this edition of The Green Front. If you joined our show in progress, please check out the archives at thegreenfront.com or prn.fm. In the meantime, have a great green week, and see you next time.
But we can turn it around if we just come together.